Luke 18, verses 9 through 14, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like that this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted.
Good morning. If you could just keep that passage open, that'd be fantastic. Thank you. Let me briefly pray to begin. Father, help us to be changed by what we hear today, by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. How do you find it when you're confident about something, but you're wrong? It can be so humbling, can't it? When you've said again and again, it's definitely left here. It's not straight on. It is left. Believe me, it's left. Of course I'm sure. And then 10 minutes later, you're lost. You have no idea where you are, and you have been completely humbled. Well, in our passage today, God will warn us not to be confident in our status with God if it's based on looking down on other people. We'll be reminded that asking God for mercy is the only way to be in a right relationship with him. After all, being wrongly confident about the direction somewhere is a bit annoying. But being wrongly confident that we have a right relationship with God when we don't, I can't think of anything more shocking. But that's exactly what Jesus says the audience for his parable today is doing. Look at verse 9 again with me. To some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everyone else. A parable is a story, and we're continuing looking at some parables from Luke's gospel today. And perhaps we've noticed so often Jesus tells his parables to groups of people. Sometimes he tells the story to the crowd. The parable of the lost sheep he told to the Pharisees. Last week, Andy unpacked for us how he told that parable to his disciples. Well, notice with me what's so striking about verse 9. He's not telling this story to a group of people, but a type of person. To a person who feels confident in their righteousness, their right relationship with God. They're sure God is pleased with them. They're certain God is for them. Why? Because they're looking down on everybody else. And isn't that so easy to do, to look down on people? It can actually be quite hard to see in our heart. Because we don't usually think, I'm so much better than everyone else because they are not like me. The student we had earlier in the sketch, it was stupid, it was laughable, we all laughed. And it can be quite hard to see that in our own hearts. But isn't it so easy to do, maybe? At home, with our family, flatmates and neighbours, we might think in our heads, I would never do that. Why can't they stop it? Maybe at work, we think, oh, it can't be helped. That colleague is just not like me. Or maybe when we meet someone new and they tell us something about themselves, or we find out something about themselves, and in our heads we say, oh, you're one of them. And we look down on them for this thing about them. Well, Jesus tells this parable, this story, to shock his listeners who look down on people in this way. and to help them see that being confident in your righteousness with God because you look down on other people is completely wrong. The story's got two very different men, completely and utterly opposite to each other. So look with me at verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. If we read more of the New Testament, we might be thinking the Pharisee is the baddie. In our heads, we might be saying, Pharisee, boo! After all, they're the ones who wanted to kill Jesus. But to get the message here, we have to remember that for many Jews, a Pharisee, this religious leader, was the best of the best of the best. They were a member of a respected religious group. They were serious about their faith. They read their Bibles. They were careful to live a life they thought pleased God. For the people Jesus is speaking to who look down on everyone else, Jesus makes up a story with a character, the Pharisee, who's about the only person these people might look up to and say, oh, wow, their religion is better than mine. In complete and utter contrast, the second character in the story is the tax collector. Again, if we've read the Gospels, we might be thinking, oh yes, the tax collector, hooray! After all, they're the ones who often followed Jesus and listened to his teachings. But to let the parable hit home, we need to remember tax collectors were seen as the worst of the worst of the worst by many Jews at the time. They were collecting taxes from the Jews, God's people, and giving them to the Romans, God's enemies. They were traitors. They were greedy. They were clearly living opposed to God's law. So here they were, a Pharisee, seen as the best of the best, and a tax collector, seen as the worst of the worst. Yes, they're both at the temple. Yes, they're both there to pray. But that's where any similarity between them ends. Let's look at what contrast Jesus paints for us in how they approach God. Look at verse 11 with me. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed. You can imagine him. Here's everyone praying at the temple, and he thinks, oh, it's a bit crowded here. I'll go over here. Oh, not too much. There, over here. Okay, here I am by myself in the middle of the temple. He wants people to notice him. The tax collector, just look down with me at verse 13. He stood at a distance. He's trying to get away from other people, not to be seen by people, but because he doesn't feel worthy to be there. The Pharisee prayed about himself. Some translations even say he prayed to himself. It's mad, isn't it? He's saying a prayer, but he's actually just talking to himself. He's completely self-obsessed. The tax collector, God, he's talking to God. He's crying out to God. He's urgently, desperately asking for help. The Pharisee, this is verse 11, says, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. And he lists the people that people in that society would have really looked down on, robbers, evildoers, adulterers. And then he looks at the tax collector, the other side of the temple, and says, oh, thank you that I'm not like that tax collector. A bit like the student earlier saying, thank you, God, I'm not like Duncan, the naughty student in our sketch. But the tax collector, he's not looking around, comparing himself to others. He goes straight to God and says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. There's no pride here. He's genuine. He's broken. He's humble. And he asks for mercy. And lastly, what does the Pharisee say? I fast twice a week. The people listening would have said, wow. The Bible told the Jews to fast once a year on the Day of Atonement. This Pharisee goes above and beyond. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of everything I have to the temple. Again, the people listening would have said, wow. Jesus tells them to give a tenth of specific things in the Old Testament. But this Pharisee gives a tenth of everything he has. Wow, they would have thought. But the tax collector doesn't tell God how amazing he is. He says, "Forgive me," like Duncan earlier in the sketch. Have mercy. So who is righteous? Who is right with God, the Pharisee or the tax collector? Now, we've read the whole thing, so we know we've already done the sketch, but the people listening might have thought, oh, it's the Pharisee. The people listening, these people who look down on everyone, might have thought, wow, that Pharisee, he must be in the right with God. He fasts twice a week. Wow. Gives a tenth of everything he has. Wow. He's not like the tax collector. Wow. They might be thinking, oh, if only I could be more like the Pharisee Jesus is talking about, maybe I could be more confident. So let's hear now the punch of this parable, the story. Look at verse 14, if you can. Jesus says, "I tell you that this man, the tax collector, rather than the other, went home justified before God, in the right with God." What? The people listening would have thought, the tax collector, the traitor, justified in the right with God, and the Pharisee, fasts twice a week, lives this holy-looking life, is not righteous, is outside of God's acceptance, is suffering God's anger, not his pleasure. It would have been such a shock. But that, I think, is exactly what Jesus wanted. He wanted his listeners to understand that we can never be righteous by ourselves, but God does justify people he has mercy on. You see, the Pharisee has "I" at the center of everything he prays. He says, "I am not like this. I fast twice a week. I give. I do this. I do that. I do this. I do that." And the tax collector has God at the center of everything he says. "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." God hears. God has mercy. God justifies, makes him righteous. Yes, they've both gone to pray, but their heart attitudes are completely opposite. The Pharisee to impress God, to show off how much better he is than other people. The tax collector, desperate, broken, urgently pleading for God's unmerited forgiveness. And their status before God at the end is completely opposite too. The Pharisee is not in the right with God. He's not forgiven. And the tax collector is completely forgiven for all of his sins. He's righteous in God's sight. So how does this Pharisee attitude that Jesus' listeners had and Jesus is trying to get them to leave behind, how does that appear in our hearts? Can we sometimes come to God, perhaps, feeling better than others? Can we ever find ourselves even praying, "Thank you, God, that I'm not like them. Thank you, God, that I'm not even perhaps like that person I can see over there, either at work or in church or wherever we see that." Do we find that in our hearts? Sometimes it's right to say, "Thank you, God, I'm not like them." And sometimes in the Psalms, we have the psalm writers doing that. But sometimes do we find ourselves saying, "Thank you that I'm not like that," in this superior attitude? Maybe sometimes we can come to God with a list of things we've done, not fasting and giving perhaps, but "Thank you, God, that I've read the Bible this morning before breakfast. Thank you, God, that I've read it twice today. Thank you, God, that I've done more than I should do. Thank you, God, that you say I should do this, but I've gone above and beyond," like the Pharisee thought he had. "I've done that many things for you," whatever it might be in our lives. Do we ever find ourselves thinking that? Well, let's repent today. Let's, as we always do as Christians, turn back to God and say, "I'm sorry." Because what I really don't want us to do leaving today is go home and tonight kneel by our bedsides or in our beds just before we sleep, pray and say, "Oh, thank you, God, that I'm not like the Pharisee I heard about this morning." Oh, how awful will that be? To say, "Thank you, God, I'm not like those religious people who think they're so much better than everyone. Thank you, God, that I'm not like them." No. As we come to this story Jesus told, he's speaking to us today and reminding us, look, there's only one way to be right with God. Ask for mercy. And preparing for today has made me think of how it can be easy, perhaps, to begin the Christian life crying out to God for mercy. Desperate and urgent. I remember when I was 13 and I prayed a prayer to ask Jesus into my life for the first time as my Lord and Savior. And I was broken. I was so aware of my sin. And I said, Jesus, please come in to my life and be my Lord and Savior. And sometimes as I think about it now, I think, can I find times in my life where, like the Pharisee, I actually think I'm better than other people, or my prayer life is more about God, thank you, in a way that doesn't give him honor. And this parable, as I've prepared it for today, has really spoken to me again about how we need to ask God for forgiveness. The last thing I want to say is also, perhaps we're not Christians, and maybe we've grown up in a church, maybe we've started looking into Christianity recently, and we're really attracted by Jesus, and we want to know more about him. But perhaps this is the thing that will help us to make it more personal to us. Asking for mercy, that's the thing, Jesus says, will make us righteous with him. And if you want to find out more about that, please speak to anyone up front today or the people who brought you to church today. And if we're reading this and we're thinking, as we're not Christians, and this is what someone I know asked me just last night, isn't it too easy? Doesn't the tax collector get off scot-free? Isn't it too easy for him? Whereas the Pharisees put in all this hard work. Let's just remember that the grace, the mercy he receives is free, but it's not cheap. Jesus gave his life to make us be righteous with him. We began this series in Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem, setting his face resolutely to Jerusalem, the Son of Man, God's right-hand man, choosing to humble himself. As Philippians 2 says, so don't need to look it up because it should come up on the screen. Philippians 2 says that Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God our Father. Do you see how Jesus humbled himself and then was exalted? And the path of Jesus' disciples is the same. That's how Jesus finishes with verse 14, the second half. Jesus says, for all those who exalt themselves, like the Pharisee in the story, will be humbled. And those who humble themselves, like the tax collector, will be exalted. The listeners of the story were confident of their own righteousness, looking down on everyone, but not giving God a second glance. Jesus lovingly warns them, as he's reminding us today, the only path to being right with God is by humbling ourselves, crying out for mercy. Let's pray. And what I'm going to do to finish today's talk is I'm going to say those words the tax collector says. Just give 30 seconds for us, if we want to echo them in our own heart. And then I'll wrap up with a final prayer. So let's pray together. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Loving Father, thank you that when we ask you for mercy, you say yes. You forgive us through Jesus' death on the cross in our place and through the power of his resurrection. And you give us a new life by your Spirit, because you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.